That is Boy and Bear with a very relaxed tune, Part-Time Believer from them, from their Moonfire release. Came out in 2011, that one. This is ABC Sunshine Coast, 20 past 10. I've got an old friend of the ABC Sunshine Coast in the studio with us this morning, Maura Gamble, who used to come in and talk permaculture with Cam Young all those years ago on the Drive program. Great to have you in here, Maura.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. You've still been busy teaching permaculture across the coast.
Across the coast and around the world too.
And beyond.
Yes.
All right. So what have you been doing overseas?
Well, mostly the work that I'm doing is teaching other teachers how to teach permaculture. So I go and work in with local communities, and one of the projects that I'm working on to get out going now is to go to Africa, which is happening next month actually.
Wow.
So with my kids, we've been to places like Korea and Indonesia and worked with Indigenous communities too, so both at home and abroad.
And what's the the trend or the love for permaculture like overseas in those places that you're talking about?
Well, do you know, I actually see that it's incredibly growing. And I just had a long conversation with the person I'm going to go and do most of the work with in Africa. And he was saying it's absolutely critical. It's what's needed. He remembers his time. He was an orphan growing up. His parents died of HIV/AIDS, and he remembers months when they had one meal a day, and then someone came along with this sort of idea of creating permaculture gardens in the schools, and over a decade ago. He has such strong memories of the transformation it had to all the orphans, like hundreds of orphans in this little school, and just amazing. You know, there's one in five kids in Uganda who are stunted. There's a third of the households who have chronic food insecurity. Most farms are less than a hectare. So permaculture is a really good solution for addressing the needs of young kids who have really nothing. And also for there's a huge young population there with lots of very small land and trying to find a way to move ahead. And so they're actually seeing social enterprise through permaculture, sustainable development, as being a really important way forward. But, they're so limited in resources and there's sort of not enough teaching out there yet. So what we're doing is actually going and not teaching, but supporting him and other people from Kenya and Zanzibar who are coming together to run programs and also to help ripple out a program of school gardens across the country. So they've started talking with the ministers and they're doing all the communications and they're just asking for some international support. So I was sitting up at Shenrezig a couple of months ago I was at the Big Love Cafe, and this little text came through to me saying, "Hi, I'm Mugarura Charles. I'm from Uganda and this is what I'm doing. Can you help me?" I'd never met him before. I didn't know anything about him. But the more I kind of all of a sudden I just had this, yes, I can help you. And so we started talking. The more I've found out about him and what he's doing, I'm absolutely blown away at his passion and his commitment and what he's been able to achieve already on the ground with absolutely nothing. So
for people listening now who don't really understand what permaculture is and why it might be such a great way of producing food in countries like Africa, where they have very little in some of these countries, can you explain in layman's terms how the system works and how it's useful in that way?
Well, it's different from standard agriculture, which in that context is very much about, buying seeds, ploughing up the ground, planting them in, fertilising them, watering them, harvesting it all at one time, sending it off to market, and then getting a little bit of money and buying sort of poorer quality food. Whereas in the permaculture system, it's kind of a food-first approach. And it's a polyculture approach, many different foods. So there's foods, there's medicines, there's fruits and medicines and vegetables and herbs and a much greater diversity of foods to improve nutrition. There's also a greater diversity of products that are available that could be value added and sold. So for income generation, it's about restoring the soils, not buying stuff, saving seeds from year to year. So economically, it makes sense for them. From a health perspective, it makes sense to them. And also from an environmental perspective, it's not causing sort of water contamination or soil contamination and erosion. So it's a very common sense, practical approach to farming sustainably. And even some of the, you know, the big organisations like FAO are now saying small-scale polycultural agriculture is the way to go. It's how we're going to feed the world's people. Not the big solutions. It's all the local farmers transforming into that way. So, and they get it. They totally get it. As soon as they hear it, they say, yes, this is what we need. It's not, you know, sometimes people criticize and saying, oh, you know, it's just another colonial idea that's, you know, being plonked on top of a country that's already suffered enough of that. But what I'm hearing is that they're saying, well, I see that idea. That idea makes sense. That's what we need here. And we're going to make it our own. And as I was talking to him the other day, he was actually saying it's very much like their indigenous way of farming.
Okay.
And so, because there's been this sort of colonial history and war, civil war, all different sorts of things, a lot of the knowledge about that is being, you know, lost. And so this is actually coming as a wave to help regenerate that knowledge. And to, you know, he's talking about a 95-year-old grandfather of his friend who knows all the herbs out in the wild forest lands, which are kind of getting eroded. And so he's going to go and talk with all of them and bring back that knowledge and find local seeds. And so it's kind of a focal point to really look at re-embracing traditional culture and finding a new way forward that's sustainable, but not just that, it's regenerative, and it actually creates a sense of a way forward and a way out of the struggle that they're currently in.
Poverty and hunger. So where are you going and what help do you need? Because you need a bit of assistance to get over there and achieve this.
We have a 1 month, I'm going in 1 month and I'm taking my two children, a 10-year-old and my 12-year-old. And we're trying to raise $10,000 to offer 100% of that. We're paying for all of our costs. All of that's going to help to create school gardens, to help teach teachers. This is the African Children's Choir has invited us to help them set up a sustainable food garden. We're also going to be helping to train teachers from all across East Africa. So it's Kenya and Uganda. And the other project that we're working on, I've been supporting for a while now, it's kind of like a local Days for Girls. So there's a young seamstress there who is making washable sanitary pads for the young girls, and she collects all her off cuts and her friends' off cuts, sews them up, makes these beautiful kits, and goes around to all the village schools and talks to young girls about their bodies, about their rights. And it's incredible how much a difference that makes, because probably about a quarter of girls' schooling is lost because they can't go to school. They don't have anything. And the things that they have to do to get stuff is just horrendous. I really don't want to, you know, start going down that rabbit hole, but it's just...
So this is basically giving them some dignity to be able to attend school during their menstrual cycle, really, isn't it?
Basically, yes. Yeah.
At a time when they'd otherwise have to pull out and their whole schooling gets interrupted, and that's if they return at all.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So there's where basically, the main focus of the program is to go and work with permaculture programs for women and permaculture programs for children. And they're all local projects, locally led, for local benefit, and really trying to access local resources. What we're trying to do is just help them to get over that initial hump of getting a lot of projects
and
happening.
And then it builds momentum after
That's right.
So anyone listening now who'd like to help you with your quest to raise that money?
Ethosfoundation.org.au. So it's a registered charity. It's the charity that I run in conjunction with the Permaculture Education Institute, which is so every time someone signs up on one of my courses, I donate a course to somewhere in the world. But I realise that in Africa, they actually can't access internet courses. So I'm going to help them directly there. So ethosfoundation.org.au.
All right. Yeah. Well, best of luck with your quest.
Thanks.
It's a fantastic way to help people who just have, you know, barely anything, be able to stand on their own two feet, and most of all, feed themselves, you know, meet that most basic human right, just to have access to
With dignity, like you said, I
food.
Think that's a key thing.
Yeah, for sure. Best of luck with it, Morag.
Thanks so much for telling us, Emma.
About it. On ABC Sunshine Coast, ethosfoundation.org.au to help Morag achieve her goal of taking $10,000 over to help these communities in Africa. It's almost 10:30.